Give Peace a Chance by James Stavridis. As we take the first major halting steps toward a peace agreement in Afghanistan, all I can remember is how we got there in the first place. On 9/11, I was a newly promoted one-star admiral working on the Navy staff in the Pentagon. My office was in the new section of the building, and I literally watched the airplane hit the Pentagon. As I stumbled out of the burning building onto the grassy field below, the irony of the moment struck me. Here I was, in the safest building on Earth, guarded by the strongest military in history, in the capital of the richest country in the world. If the Pentagon wasn't safe, what was? We all knew everything would change, especially for those of us in the U.S. military. I was wrenched out of my comfortable assignment as a strategic budget officer and selected to lead Deep Blue, a hastily created think tank charged with charting a new course for the Navy in what would become known as the War on Terror. We didn't really know what that meant, nor did we appreciate all that would unfold in so many places around the world, and how many would die as a result of our retaliation. But we did know that the plot that killed 3,000 Americans had begun in Afghanistan, and very quickly the focus of the U.S. military became going there, finding al-Qaeda, and destroying them. The Taliban, who had harbored them, were at the time a small obstacle that we quickly overcame. As tens of thousands of U.S. troops deployed to a strange, foreboding nation whose geography seemed to resemble the surface of the moon, we could never have predicted we were embarking on the longest war in U.S. history. Over nearly two decades, hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops rotated through Afghanistan, generally on one-year assignments. At the conflict's peak in 2013, over 150,000 U.S. and allied troops from over 50 nations were deployed there. Many became casualties, including nearly 2,500 killed and over 20,000 wounded. During my 4 years commanding the NATO mission Enduring Freedom there, I wrote 1,700 letters of condolence to grieving families, about a third of them Europeans. It was a hard time for the U.S. military, which was caught in a classic counterinsurgency battle against an implacable and determined foe.